is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Lot to get to. Updates on the slide in Rancho Palos Verdes, how fast it's going now. Some of the Johnny Wachter suspects caught on tape in jail. But first, the convention last night for the Democrats.
It's been the honor of my lifetime to serve as your president. I love the job, but I love my country more.
President Biden with his Pass the Torch speech. Tonight, it's the Obamas for Kamala Harris. Let's get you that update live.
CBS News Special Report.
Are you ready to elect Kamala Harris and Tim Walz?
A day after President Biden kicked off the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, former President Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama will make their case for a Harris presidency. CBS's Shauna Mizell says so will former President Donald Trump's former press secretary.
We expect Stephanie Grisham to address the Democratic National Convention tonight, but she's not the only Republican that will be a part of the programming this week. Some other notable names include former Congressman Adam Kinzinger and from the former Lieutenant Governor of Georgia, that's Jeff Duncan.
In an exclusive interview with CBS News, the former president issued a warning about Harris.
If she's going to be president, our country will fail and fail badly and fail quickly.
He campaigns in battleground Michigan today. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Well, California is well represented at the Democratic National Convention. LA Mayor Karen Bass took the stage on day one to make the case for Vice President Kamala Harris.
I've known Kamala Harris for almost 20 years. Our bond was forged years ago by a shared commitment to children, a belief that it is everyone's responsibility to care for every child. That's why when I was Speaker of the State Assembly and she was a prosecutor, we fought to address youth homelessness and reform the child welfare system.
Senator LaFonza Butler also spoke to the crowd in Chicago, hyping up Harris while taking shots at former President Trump.
We deserve a president who is tough, not just tough talking. One who shatters the boundaries of what's possible, not the boundaries of what's legal, and one who wipes the floor with cheats and fraudsters.
Long Beach Congressman Robert Garcia and Hawthorne Congresswoman Maxine Waters also delivered speeches at the DNC.
We've seen pieces of Kamala Harris's plan for the economy. Lots of business owners are watching closely. Here's Chris Sedens.
She's expected to outline her fiscal policy plans, and Carolina Martinez of the Cameo Network says there are key aspects of federal fiscal policy that she hopes Harris will reinforce.
I would definitely like to continue hearing investments such as small business development centers or women's business centers that really support the small businesses and the minority-owned entrepreneurs who are a key part of that rising number of new businesses.
Martinez says California has already received $1.2 billion through the Federal Estate Small Business Credit Initiative. She says it has helped enable small business owners to access affordable capital. I'm Chris Sedens, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Three U.S. intelligence agencies say Iran was behind the recent hack that targeted the Trump presidential campaign. Reporter Christopher Cruz says the agencies accused Tehran of trying to influence the 2024 election.
The director of national intelligence, the FBI, and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency confirmed the claim by Trump campaign officials earlier this month that they were being targeted. In a statement, the agencies said they're confident that Iran had used social engineering and other methods to target individuals in the Trump and Harris campaigns.
Politico and other news outlets say they received emails with Trump campaign materials from a source who refused to identify themselves among the materials. Research on the background of Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, who, of course, is Trump's vice presidential running mate.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
What will our children say? Let me know in my heart. When my days are through, America, America, I gave my best to you.
Another little piece of Joe Biden's speech last night at the convention where some are saying he finally followed through on that early promise, be the bridge to another generation. Said his pick of Kamala Harris was the best pick of his long career, 50 years in politics. Let's unpack that. Look ahead with the director of presidential studies at the University of Virginia, Dr. Barbara Perry. Doctor, thanks for being here. Thoughts. Walked out there to the 4-minute ovation, had the energy, took swings at Donald Trump, says, I love the job, I love the country more. All great stuff, but man, this must have been rough for him because he wanted to be talking not last night, but Thursday night.
Oh, that's so true, Mike. And it had to be, as everyone kept saying, bittersweet. But I think, first of all, you saw an unburdened Joe Biden. Just think of the difference in how he looked 4 weeks ago. Yes, with COVID, but also the burden of going forward at his age and after the, well, let's just call it the disastrous debate performance. And so he was able to soak up the love, I hope. It did remind me, going all the way back to 1964's convention run, Robert Kennedy Sr., I should add, came out to a much longer ovation, but for his assassinated brother and for him. And sometimes the people just pour their hearts out for their leaders. And they did that for Joe Biden last night.
You know, I was seeing it described as presidential as any official act he had taken, what he delivered last night. How do you see the speech going down in history?
Well, let me say it was no Gettysburg Address, in part because it was about 10 times longer. But I would sum it up this way. You know, the introduction again, if people didn't have a little tear in their eye when he walked out and hugged his daughter who had given him that lovely introduction, then they have a heart that's not courageous, as she said, but a stone cold heart. And then that was followed by, I outline it this way, democracy, his record, vote for Kamala, defeat Donald Trump, democracy. And then as you just played the clip, I gave it my best. And I thought that really did sum up Joe Biden. He may not go down as the greatest president, including Washington, Lincoln, and FDR, who are always at the top of the list. But I would say he probably will go down in history as maybe the greatest one-term president we ever had, if for no other reason that he saved democracy after January 6th. He may have saved democracy if Kamala Harris is elected and prevents Donald Trump from coming back into office. And finally, to take that courageous heart approach of stepping out. How many people in power willingly give it up to do the best thing for the country?
I saw somebody say interns don't even want to leave the White House, and here's the president leaving the White House. Did he do anything, or can he do anything, to boost her in places where maybe he even might have been stronger, or where she still needs help? Because there's a lot of enthusiasm for Kamala Harris. We've seen it renewed. People are talking about it. They're registering to vote. But you know as well as anybody, there are only so many paths to victory in the Electoral College.
Well, this is true, and it goes through the battleground states and particularly Pennsylvania. But what a coincidence. Joe Biden comes from Pennsylvania, famously from Scranton. And so while I think she will have to, and her team will have to figure out exactly where he should speak for her, I would start in Pennsylvania with groups of older white men. That is one of the areas of Joe Biden's constituency where he was strongest and where she might be weakest.
The director of presidential studies there, University of Virginia, Dr. Barbara Perry. Thanks. All right, coming up, Orange County firefighters getting some new weapons, high-tech stuff to battle the wildfires. Welcome to the new helicopters. And people having some problems with the rooftop solar installs, contractors leaving them high and dry. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues. Rancho Palos Verdes now. Geologist expected to talk about the slide. The city council tonight giving council members latest information about how fast it's going and what they can do maybe to try and pump more of the water out of there and help things. John Baird is in this neighborhood that had the gas cut, Portuguese Bend. He's live. John?
I was just driving on Palos Verdes Drive South. It has to be repaired constantly because of the earth's movement. But in the Seaview neighborhood, a couple of homes were ripped apart there. That's a couple of miles away. And here in Portuguese Bend, the director of the Homeowners Association, Claudia Gutierrez, tells me this morning they have maybe 6 to 10 damaged homes out of 148 total. And yet SoCal Gas shut off their natural gas service because of potential danger from the landslide complex.
We have at least 135 homes that are not damaged, and we're all being punished, everyone.
She says they're also worried about losing electricity at some point, even more so after city officials held a meeting with Edison and then asked Elon Musk about the possibility of installing solar power here and batteries. to cover the residents.
That's kind of the writing on the wall that the power is going to get shut off.
It hasn't happened yet, but she says Edison warned them in a letter that was a possibility. Meantime, the city council will get the update tonight about the landslide situation and about installing emergency hydraugers to pump out the groundwater that geologists say is causing the accelerated land movement.
Governor Newsom vetoed a bill by a SoCal lawmaker that would have tightened pollution monitoring requirements at California oil refineries. The bill by State Senator Lena Gonzalez of Long Beach, it also would have required those businesses to keep detailed air quality records that would be subject to outside audits. Now, in his veto message, the governor said he shares the goal to protect communities from air pollution, but he said local air quality officials, they're already doing that.
They got some new toys in Orange County, a couple big state-of-the-art helicopters to help with brush fires and saving people when they need rescuing.
Two of the Orange County Fire Authority's four helicopters were 1966 vintage Super Hueys, whose airframes are old and their ability to drop water had degraded as well. Now, Orange County Fire Authority Assistant Chief Tim Perkins says the addition of two S-70 Firehawks to the fleet greatly enhances their ability to put out fires and operate in extreme conditions, even at night.
The Firehawks offer 1,000 gallons of water dropping capability. The aircraft is much safer with the two engines that give us a lot more power to work at higher elevation at temperature, far superior than what we were using in the past.
At a combined cost of $58 million, the aircraft aren't cheap, but given their projected lifespan of 20 years plus, it's a bargain, especially if their rapid deployment feature allows them to save multi-million dollar homes from going up into flames. I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Solar customers in California and across the country running into the same problem, and it's costing them thousands of dollars. Those who had the solar panels installed allege they were overcharged for the systems that either underperformed or they were just left undone by the contractors. Well, what's making things worse, though, is that the banks that financed the solar systems released full payment to those contractors who didn't complete the jobs. So many are being forced to hire lawyers and sue to try to get that money. The Pasadena Star News is reporting that a couple in Northridge ran into this issue, and they're now on the hook for an $80,000 loan after the contractor abandoned the job, leaving that system undone.
Did you buy a Powerball ticket at the Ralphs in Dana Point a few days ago? You're going to want to double-check those numbers. Tickets sold at the store on Golden Lantern, the only one with all six from last night's drawing, won $44.3 million.
Wasn't me.
Taylor, you wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, I know. Taylor Swift is wrapping up the European leg of her Eras tour in London, and she has reached out to victims of a terrible stabbing attack.
Phone footage from Sunday's concert shot by the mother of one of the little girls injured in last month's stabbing attacks at a Taylor Swift-themed dance class in the city of Southport. Three children died. 10 other people were wounded. Photos posted by the mother show Swift posing backstage with two young girls, one of whom seems to have a bandaged arm. The mother's message, "You drew stars around my scars." Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Rescue teams, divers going back to the site of this super yacht off Sicily that sank, looking for six people, including a British tech titan, Mike Lynch, believed to be trapped still in the hole. Divers doing 12-minute shifts searching the wreck about 150 feet below near Palermo. Debris had blocked access below deck during the initial search. Authorities think the ship was hit by a waterspout early yesterday, sank down to the seabed. 15 people survived, including Lynch's wife. He was once talked about as Britain's king of technology, acquitted in June of fraud charges here in the U.S. at a trial. 20 minutes of nonstop news right here on KNX News. We've got some airline merger news. We've got some open seats out there. Maybe nobody in the middle sitting next to you. Let's talk about this with our KNX travel editor, Peter Greenberg. Peter, thanks for being here. Let's start with the merger stuff. This is Alaska and Hawaiian, right? And they announced this, I don't know, like 8 months ago now, but it looks like maybe it's a go.
It looks like maybe it's a go because it was subject to Department of Justice review. It was a long review, and they decided to take no action. So now it's up to the U.S. Department of Transportation to give their blessing. But right now, it looks like this is going to go through. Alaska taking over Hawaiian Airlines. And it'll be interesting to see what happens to those mainland routes, simply because everybody now flies to Alaska, to Hawaii, including Alaska Airlines, and what it's going to do to their flight schedule.
Yeah, do you have any thoughts on what it means for somebody who's in L.A. or Orange County? Because, I mean, you can go from LAX, even there's flights from Long Beach. I took Hawaiian from Long Beach. Even American goes now.
My guess would be there'll be fewer flights because Alaska will combine their flight routings with Hawaiian. And maybe there'll be additional flights that'll go further east, meaning not just to New York. They do have a nonstop right now from Honolulu to New York, and they do have a nonstop to Las Vegas and one to Phoenix. So we'll see what happens.
I always feel bad for people who have to fly from New York and stop here and then fly to Hawaii. I'm like, oh, that's way long for you guys. It only took me 5 hours because I live from here.
You're the lucky one. Peter, let's talk about these the open seats on some of the major airlines, right? So there's all this capacity, but there's like Spirit and Frontier, they're already low fare, so they're trying to offer some perks to folks in order to compete. I love the idea of a middle seat, quite frankly, being blocked out. What do people need to know?
Well, here's the deal. The reason why this is happening is because every airline now has become a low-fare airline. With all that excess capacity out there and with travel demand starting to go down, airfares are dropping. So you'll see Delta, American, and United starting to match airfares of Spirit and Frontier. What does Spirit and Frontier have to offer other than low fares? Not much. So they can't compete on price. They're now trying to compete, which is against their culture, if you think about it, on perks. So all of a sudden, you can bundle fares with Spirit that will give you better baggage deal, a better seat, and in many cases, they'll for a certain amount of money, they'll block the middle seat next to you. Frontier has decided to get rid of those draconian ticket change fees and allowing you to change tickets with no additional cost as well, not just the ticket change fee, but in terms of flights as well. So it's sort of an interesting attempt because Spirit and Frontier have not done well financially. The Spirit stock since the beginning of this year has dropped 80% in value. Spirit stock's down about 32% in value. And so they're trying to do this to generate whatever revenue they can because, as I just said, they can no longer compete on price. They have to compete on something else.
Is this also kind of why Southwest ran into trouble, that this environment, because they didn't change for a long, long time, and then Spirit and Frontier started playing their game, and then prices were getting so high that you could fly Delta or American for sometimes what you would fly for Southwest, and maybe on Southwest you'd have to stop. So they were kind of in this no man's land where now they've got all these changes to try to figure out what to do.
Right. They needed to raise revenue as well, but they weren't going to touch the third rail, which is not charging you for bags that they were checking. So they didn't touch that. But they had to touch something. So that's why they started putting in, reconfiguring their seats on their planes to add the first third of the plane now with seats with extra legroom, which will be sold as a premium. And once you did that, you had to get rid of open seating. That's assigned seating. And you can count on certain seats being even more expensive in the back of the plane as well once that happens. So it's just about revenue. You got that right.